Chapter 14. Catherine Chooses. The next day, Dr. Sloper called Mrs. Penniman into his library.
"I've called you here to advise you that I don't want you or Catherine to see Mr. Townsend again. Anything you will do to help or comfort Catherine will be considered treason. You know treason is a very serious offense."
Mrs. Penniman threw back her head and said,
"Do you want to kill your child?"
"No, I want to make her live and be happy," replied the doctor.
"You will kill her. She had a terrible night."
"She won't die of one bad night, nor of a dozen. Remember that I am a distinguished physician."
Catherine had had a dreadful sleepless night. Her heart was breaking. She cried and thought about her father's harsh words. She believed that she was bad, but she could not help it. The next morning, she did not want to show her pain to the world. Therefore, she came to breakfast on time, with no tears in her eyes, which disappointed Mrs. Penniman. That day she wrote to Morris, asking him to come and see her the next day. Catherine received him in the big, bright front parlor. The first thing she noticed was that he was more beautiful than ever.
"Why have you made me wait so long?"
he asked.
"Every hour seemed like years. Have you decided whether you will keep me or give me up?"
"Oh, Morris,"
she cried,
"I never thought of giving you up."
"Then what were you waiting for?"
"I thought my father might look at it differently, but he still looks at it the same way."
"Then why have you called me here?"
"Because I wanted to see you,"
cried Catherine.
"Will you marry me tomorrow?"
Morris suddenly asked.
"Tomorrow?"
"Next week, then, any time within a month."
"Isn't it better to wait?"
said Catherine.
"To wait for what?"
She did not know for what, but she was afraid.
"Until we have thought about it a little more."
Morris shook his head sadly and said,
"I thought you had thought about it in these 3 weeks. Do you want to think about it for the next 5 years? My poor girl, you are not sincere."
Catherine blushed, and her eyes filled with tears.
"Oh, how can you say that?"
she murmured.
"You must take me or leave me,"
said Morris.
"You can't please your father and me. You must choose between us."
"I have chosen you,"
she said passionately.
"Then marry me next week."
She stood gazing at him.
"Isn't there any other way?"
"None that I know of."
He turned away, walked to the window, and looked out. He finally said,
"You are terribly afraid of your father."
"I suppose I must be,"
she said very simply.
"Then you don't love me as I love you. Your fear of your father seems greater than your love for me."
"Oh, my friend,"
said Catherine, going to him.
"Do I fear anything?"
he demanded, looking at her.
"For you I would do anything."
"You are noble and brave."
Catherine knew that she had to deliver her father's message to Morris. It was very painful for her, but she said,
"He told me to tell you very distinctly that if I marry without his consent, I shall not inherit a penny of his fortune. He made a great point of this. He seemed to think..."
Morris blushed angrily and said,
"What did he seem to think?"
"That it would make a difference."
"It will make a difference in many things. We will be poorer. But it will not change my love for you."
"We shall not want the money,"
said Catherine.
"You know that I have my own fortune."
"Yes, my dear girl. I know you have something, and he can't touch that."
"He would never,"
said Catherine.
"My mother left it to me."
Morris was silent for a while.
"Do you think that he will be cruel to you forever? Do you think he will never change his mind about disinheriting you?"
"If I marry you, he will think I'm not good."
"Then he will never forgive you,"
cried Morris. The words disinherit and forgive, with their heavy moral meaning, rang in Catherine's ears and deeply touched her childlike heart. She felt very lonely and afraid.
"Oh, Morris,"
she cried, putting her head on his shoulder.
"You must love me very much. I will marry you as soon as you want."
"My dear good girl,"
he exclaimed, looking down at his prize. Then he looked up again rather vaguely, with parted lips and lifted eyebrows. Life in Washington Square continued much as before for many days. Dr. Sloper told his sister Elizabeth that Catherine's situation amused him greatly, and that he was waiting with suspense to see the outcome. Mrs. Almond replied,
"It is not very kind of you to find amusement in your daughter's situation."
"I want to take Catherine to Europe,"
said the doctor.
"Europe will give Catherine new things to think about."
"She won't forget him in Europe,"
said Elizabeth.
"He will forget her then."
Mrs. Almond looked serious.
"Would you really like that?"
"Extremely,"
said the doctor. Meanwhile, Mrs. Penniman, who was alarmed by her brother's coldness towards her, arranged another secret meeting with Morris Townsend. This time she did not choose an oyster saloon. She asked him to meet her at the door of a church.
"I come as a messenger of peace,"
said Mrs. Penniman.
"I think you should wait a while before marrying Catherine."
Morris Townsend was quite annoyed.
"You have many different ways of seeing the same problem. Last week you advised me to marry her immediately."
"Be very patient. Watch and wait. Wait until my brother is less angry,"
said Mrs. Penniman.
"Catherine has already agreed to marry me very soon,"
said Morris.
"What can I do now?"
"Catherine loves you so much that you can do anything you want,"
said Mrs. Penniman.
"You can change your plans and she won't get upset."
Morris looked at her with raised eyebrows and simply said,
"Ah."
After he had accompanied her home, he considered his dilemma. It was not easy for him to choose between the fear of losing Catherine and her possible fortune altogether, and the fear of taking her too soon and being tied to a young woman who was both unattractive and impoverished.